The Toolbox Show on Fix Radio with Andy Stevens.
Good afternoon. I'm Andy Stevens. Welcome to the Toolbox Show on Fix Radio. The heat wave goes on and on and on. And it doesn't seem to be stopping, does it? Hosepipe ban next. Been thinking about this. Does that mean us trades can't work? If you think about it, every job we've got a hose on the go. Got bricks to keep wet, we got muck and plaster to knock up, patios and driveways to clean down. More importantly, that kettle always needs filling up, so if there's a hosepipe ban, does that mean we go to the pub? Sounds good to me. Oh, it's a close one. Bit out of breath. Nearly didn't make it in today. We had to get these steels that I mentioned on last week's show in yesterday. It was that one that was a half a ton and was just holding up a little bit of brickwork, bit of blockwork, and a small window. Oh, hang on a sec. No, we did forget the cavity wall insulation, so that must weigh a ton, hence the completely over-spec steel, which we managed to get in. Thanks to Terry, Bradley, all the other boys, Paul, etc., that helped and worked late last night. Hopefully you enjoyed those pizzas. Now, don't get me started on structural engineers, or I'll be spending the entire hour moaning about them. Anyway, while we're on that note, these ridiculously overpriced steels and over-specced, a big thanks to Ray from Surrey Steels, as he was only meant to be dropping them, yep, you've got it, curbside. But he used his hire to put them straight into the back garden, so I've got to say, thanks ever so much, mate, you saved our backs. Now, while we're on the subject of this heat, does it mean a lot of you boys and girls out there can't work? Because obviously, things, let's think about it, plastering. You got your first hit on, your second hit on, it's going to start cracking up like a spider's web. We know that, so can we stop that? What happens about your bricks that keep drying out? Got to keep them wet? Hosepipe ban? That's not happening, is it? So really, can we be going to work? That's the question, isn't it? Now, construction world, there's been a fair bit happening this week. The big standout for me is 9 out of 10 local authorities are failing to check their supply chains getting paid within 30 days for construction work. So that revelation means 89% of councils are in breach of the Public Contracts Regulations 2015, and that has emerged from a request submitted by the Electrical Contractors Association. So, if you think about that, right, councils, we got what, 14 days to pay a parking fine? Council tax, can't have that late, can we? But they can't pay us trades for doing a bit of work for them. How hypocritical is that? So it's about time councils, big firms and the like, I think we've got to jump on them. SMEs account for 99% of UK businesses. So basically, if we're not paid, there aren't going to be any. So I think they need to start pulling their finger out and getting on that. Actually, it reminds me, I've got a parking ticket. I think I might just put that at the back of the queue and leave it for a few weeks. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we had an excellent guest on, Damien McCarthy, who is a leading employment law specialist, where we were talking about the verdict in the Pimlico Plumbers case versus Smith at the Supreme Court. This week, as we speak, the CEO of Pimlico Plumbers, Charlie Mullins, he's in his cab, he's on the way, and he's going to be on the Toolbox very shortly, so stay tuned. Anything you'd like to ask him, drop us a text. The text number is 81400. Start the message with Fix.
Fix.
Usually we've got Apprentice Dan here. Came in this morning, wondered where he was. Guess what? Apprentice, he's on another holiday. Unbelievable. He has more holidays than Judy the Charmer's, that boy. But I heard it's only Centre Parks this week. Is that right, Jack? Is he? Yeah, just Centre Parks. So hopefully he'll come back in one piece. I've got to say, we just had a lovely bit of lunch with our new programme director here and the other presenters, and we came up with stories that happen whilst you're at work. And unfortunately, I kind of, well, as you do, started chatting, then realised we've actually got a really bad habit of blocking cats up under customers' floors. Now, I'll explain that because it does sound a bit odd. What we do is, obviously, when you're going from a suspended floor, like a Victorian house, you're putting an extension on and you put your concrete slab, insulation, screed, etc. There are areas that are then blocked from your suspended floor, which are on brickwork, spreader walls. Cats like small holes. You leave a small hole, put a bucket over it, cat moves it, disappears. We're up to five separate jobs, five separate cats. The good news is, to cat lovers, they all made it out. And that, the reason I was saying that is I've got two phones. One's for work, which goes off in the evenings because you can get calls at sort of 3:45 in the morning saying we can hear our cat, but we can't find them. So I'd love to hear from you. What stories have you got for us? You good with the cats and dogs? Obviously, it's a bit of cement setting. You don't want anyone walking in that burns their paws, allegedly. So get in touch with us here at Fix. As I say, the best number is 81400. Start the message with Fix. Or you can email us, studio@fixradio.co.uk.
The Toolbox Show on Fix Radio. Brought to you by the Federation of Master Builders.
Not that long ago, the Supreme Court delivered its ruling on the landmark Pimlico plumbers case, upholding previous decisions that a self-employed plumber was in fact properly classified as a worker with valuable employment rights under UK law, including discrimination protection, holiday pay, etc. What did you make of this ruling? And how does this affect you? Today in the studio, we have the founder and CEO of Pimlico Plumbers, Charlie Munnings. Good afternoon, Charlie.
Yeah, good afternoon, Steve.
Andy.
And even Andy's better.
Either way.
I was looking at you from the side, fella.
I look like a Steve sideways.
But even better, Andy, you're right. Yeah.
Now, the dust has settled since the ruling at the Supreme Court. First question's got to be, what is your honest opinion of it?
That's a load of bollocks, isn't it? Really? Absolutely. You're looking at me like you didn't expect me to say that. Terrible decision. You know, they're trying to bring a 20th century law back into the 21st century. Our employment laws are very out of date, and unfortunately, this was a bad decision made by the judges. And it's going to affect a lot of self-employed people across the country. It's a major blow for the construction industry.
Not just the construction industry, as we've sort of seen from the verdicts, obviously other industries as well, the delivery companies, etc. So it could roll out more. But what I was going to ask you next, before we get into that, was a couple of words you used at the time, disgusted, could lead to a tsunami of claims, which obviously is a strong possibility. Are you really that worried? And are you sort of thinking, looking at your workers, crikey, who's next?
I'm not so concerned that you know, they're going to attack us for a little bit of holiday money, and that's about the end of it. I'm really concerned that the general self-employed sort of status across the country, and rightly, as you said, it's not just going to be construction workers, it's going to be media, you know, even Uber drivers, you know, people in different industry, medical industry, everything. It's going to affect everybody financially. I don't want to be classed us as like Uber drivers where, you know, they get a two-bob contract. You know, this guy had a great contract and a great wage and great working conditions. But when it never suited him, he wanted to be a worker. So, you know, the real major blow is not to Pimlico Plumbers. You know, we're an up and running company, and you know, we must run our business correctly to be going for 40 years. But it's going to affect a lot of small businesses that, you know, can't take people on PAYE or on this worker basis. So, you know, it's a massive blow for self-employed industry.
As you say, it is going to affect the old subcontractor market. I run a small building company just outside London. I've got exactly the same issues. So if I was coming to you, having been through this, and say, what in your eyes is the best thing for me to do with that ruling from the Supreme Court?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could answer the question. You know, look, at any time, Andy, you could get any of your guys that do work for you come and try and claim holiday pay. And we know, and you know, that you pay them a rate that covers that and covers any sickness. They're aware of it, you're aware of it. So at the moment, I don't know the answer. You know, quite clearly the government needs to look at it. Quite clearly the government needs to give us more clarity on employment law and basically bring it up to the 21st century. But at the moment, you know, it's still up in the air, to be perfectly honest. So, you know, I hate to say it, you are entitled to be worried. And look, maybe the future's going to be that we've got to take people on PAYE. I don't think it's a case of trying to avoid any payments, but we all know self-employed people tend to work harder, longer, and earn more money, which is good for the economy. And it also, you know, suits the boss of the company because, you know, of the additional expense you're going to have to pay if they are on PAYE.
such as your holiday, you're sick.
Well, that's right. Yeah. You pay the holiday and the sick, but you know, a lot more employment laws come into it. And you know, when they get the Monday morning illness and the Friday illness, you know what I mean, all that's going to come into play. And you know, at the end of the day, you know, the employer is going to have to suffer over it. It's not just about the money; it's about the overall setup. People that, you know, a lot of people in certainly the construction industry, they want to be self-employed, they want to better themselves, they want to earn more money, they put themselves out a little bit more, and unfortunately, this is going to stop a lot of people, you know, being successful.
If we take a step back, I saw an interview with Sky News you'd done, and quote, "We changed the contract 7 years ago when we found a couple of loopholes in them. We've changed that and our contracts are now watertight like our plumbing service." So the way I perceive that, in plumbing terms, being a builder, to me, this means you've tried to sort of solder a 15 mil copper pipe with water in it. So you think you're going to get a decent seal, but in time, you're going to get that weep. Surely your revised contract 7 years ago weren't as watertight as you thought, or we wouldn't be in this situation now?
No, sorry, we changed it after this case came out.
Yeah.
So this guy's working on a contract that was 12 years old. So when they attacked us, so this guy found a loophole in it, we changed their contracts then. So our new contracts have not been tested. But we'd like to think, as we said, that they're watertight.
So moving forward, are you changing all your contracts? Because obviously, as we mentioned earlier, the chance of claims and people wanting holiday pay, etc. You know, the legal advice you've had up to now is obviously as it's been. But taking a step back, has it been right?
Well, that's right. But I'm not sure if I'm explaining myself, Steve. The new contract that we changed 7 years ago is the new contract that's not been tested. They tell us, the Inland Revenue, our lawyers, our accountants tell us this contract should hold up. So this guy's working off of an old contract. So we're not actually changing them anymore. Is that what you meant?
Yeah, I meant that obviously with the ruling, contracts have got to be looked at. We had a legal expert employment lawyer in 3 weeks ago, and he was sort of saying that those old contracts have almost got to be...
That's exactly it. But I'm saying is we changed it 7 years ago when this first came out, because this court case is 6 or 7 years old now. So we did change them then, and again they've been approved by the Inland Revenue, and rightly, as we like to say, you know, we think they're as watertight as their plumbing. But no one will never know until you actually get taken to court and whether someone finds another loophole. And unfortunately, undoubtedly, employment law is loaded for the employee. There's no question about that. It's loaded for them, and it's so unfair and unnecessary. And unfortunately, I think it takes it away from a lot of people that generally, you know, want to be self-employed. You've got to remember, this guy wanted to be self-employed. We didn't push him down that road. He wanted to earn £500,000 in 3 years. He wanted to be VAT registered, claim an office in his house, claim for his wife working for him, claim for materials, uniform. He took every possibility that was out there to maximise on being self-employed. When his personal circumstances change, which was no fault of his work. I mean, I have to be honest, it's about his own personal life that I'm not supposed to talk about, but it was nothing to do with work. And all of a sudden that changed, and unfortunately he had a heart attack, and unfortunately then he wasn't really meeting the requirements that our company needed. But, you know, would I get rid of someone who's had an heart attack? Of course I wouldn't. Would I look after them? Of course I would look after them. You know, this guy has manipulated it the way that suits him. And anybody that knows me and worked with me for 20, 30 years, this is the first case that I've ever gone to court over on employment. And I'm telling you now, the judges made a big error in getting it wrong. And of course, they can only go by the information they're fed. But unfortunately, you know, the truth wasn't told there.
I think the big thing, which even every day I find confusing, is the term subcontractor. You know, is that a guy that does one day a year? Is that a guy that comes in 5 days a week, wears your gear, uses your tools, listens to what job you go to and what you got to do? So, as you say, a lot of it is going to come of this and things are going to change. But the way I look at it, Gary, in this case, in my eyes, was more of a full-time member because he did work, correct me if I'm wrong, for you solely, wore your Pimlico Plymouth tops.
Yeah.
So do you not think it was fair that he should have had something from you guys, almost being, inverted commas, a full-time employee, but
Not at all. I mean, the fact that he enjoyed the luxury of being with us full time, the fact that we could keep him busy, and the fact that, you know, he was earning £100,000 a year, £500,000 he earned in 3 years, the fact that he had all them advantages was all built in with the rate. I mean, say for argument's sake, he was on £50 an hour. If he was on as a worker or PAYE, he would have been on £20 per hour. He knows that. We know that. Anybody with half a brain knows that. So the fact that he was with us all the time was a big advantage. But how can you class somebody as a worker because what colour uniform they wear or what colour van they drive? You know what I mean? It's nonsense. I mean, you know, look, the Inland Revenue have got it wrong. They've got no clarity on it, and unfortunately the government have not got enough balls to step in and come up with exactly what is a self-employed person. I mean, it used to be self-employed person, PAYE, but now they've come up with a worker. I mean, I'm telling you now, the people that are at fault here is the Inland Revenue and the government.
Charlie, thank you for the moment. In a minute, we're going to be looking back to how you began as a plumber, when you're on the tools, and also we're going to be asking you for some key bits of advice for anyone starting out.
That's great. Started off as a self-employed plumber.
And this week, Charlie Mullins, the founder and CEO of Pimlico Plumbers. We talked about the Supreme Court, which I'm sure Charlie and I could go on for hours. But what I want to talk about in the second half of this is, obviously, you started out on the tools. You're a plumber.
Yeah, very much so, Andy. You know, started off as an apprentice plumber and immediately become self-employed at 19 and, being honest, never looked back since.
You started out, as you say, you weren't given a big cheque or anything like that. You started off your own back. Starting from that beginning, literally off your own back, is there any sort of key bits of advice from your experience that we got a lot of people listening that are on the tools that are probably thinking, I'd love to be where Charlie is.
Yeah, what sort of took up the what's points? Your background, Steve?
Andy.
Or even Andy.
Steve again.
Why do you look like a Steve?
It's the beak. I started off general builder, so I worked cross carpentry. We did tree houses. I worked on a golf course, greenkeeper, and then moved into brickwork and running what I am now. So,
okay,
I'm not a specialist trade, but,
no, but
if I've got to jump on the trowel, I'll jump on the trowel and
all in everything, which is great. No, it's just I weren't sure of your background, and now you've told me it's fairly obvious maybe we come from very similar backgrounds. And what was the question?
Top tips. I've got to be honest. I've been going, whatever it is, 15, 20 years. I've reached this point, and a lot of other listeners have got in touch and said the same. You're trying to do everything. You're trying to price jobs, see customers, jump on the tools. Where did you say right? Because it must have been hard for you to start letting other people do it. It's for me.
You are right. And the question that's asked the most from other guys that are running their own business on a self-employed basis, the question is, you know, I'm running here, there and everywhere, estimating, doing the job, doing this, organising the wages. At some stage, the way forward is to employ people. And that's the step forward. I don't believe you can get successful and big company without taking on other people, whether it be on self-employed or on the cards. You must employ people. And that's the turning point. Once you accept that you take people on board, you get to trust them, and all of a sudden you realise you're not as good at everything that you think. And once you accept that, you know, I used to do estimates and wages and PR and trying to do the job and all. And I mean, you know, no one's as good as that. We're all good at one thing, and I think once you find what it is, try and stick to that. And as much as I believe I was good at plumbing, I also believe I'm good at running or organising a company. So the turning point is employing people. And I'm asked the question millions of times throughout the year. And, you know, the hardest thing in any business is staff. But that's the thing you've got to tackle. And I would say this, you know, forgetting my court case, there's some great workers out there. And you know, and there's loads of people that are very happy working with a company and working together. So employing people is the way forward.
You're right. This show's sponsored by the Federation of Master Builders, and every 2 years they have this big award ceremony from Bathrooms of the Year, extensions, new builds, green homes. And as you say, some of the work you see, you just think this is out of this world.
Yeah.
But for taking it from where you started and trusting yourself, because you know the expression, you're only as good as your last job.
Exactly, yeah.
It must be hard to suddenly think, right, I used to be first fixing that house, I've now got to let the new lad do it. You'll disappear into another job. that's a tough point in which to almost break away.
You have to accept, Andy, that there's some good tradespeople out there. And I've got to be honest, don't matter how good you think you are, there's people out there that can match you, and there's people out there got the enthusiasm, and people out there that want to work together and with a company. And once you realise that you're not like the thugs, sorry, you're not jack of all, you know, the best there is, then, and you bring other people in, honestly, it's amazing that, you know, you start trusting them, they start getting successful for you, and the results show through. And, you know, you said you're as good as your last job, and I'm going to say, you know, once your business grows, you're as good as the people that work for you.
Mm. Leads us perfectly onto the next one, apprentices and apprenticeships. I find it pretty hard to get a decent apprentice. A lot of people do. There's that lovely word levy, which CITB have got. We had a guy in the other week to be from CITB. It's a very difficult word for anyone to understand, especially you and me. So when you were apprentice, I've got it 67. You were saying they were brilliant back then, but they've changed for the worse. And obviously, I'm not quite back to 67, but I've seen apprenticeships change. How would you change it now for the modern company to make it easier, and obviously to get this levy down to a level that's affordable?
I mean, it's not difficult, you're right. First of all, I'd get rid of Ann Milton, the government minister. She's a waste of time, hasn't got a clue. Apprenticeships have gone back massively since she's been involved in it. I'd do away with the levy charge, and I'd go back to having one standard apprenticeship, proper sitting guilds, old-fashioned apprenticeship, and work on one system only. And, you know, by doing that, there's no confusion. I would also make sure that the training people are brought under a different category. Basically, you've got out there people diluting the word apprenticeship, and it shouldn't be allowed. But unfortunately, it's the government's fault. They haven't got a clue about apprenticeships, and they need to get somebody in that understands it. And, you know, you don't penalise companies for taking on apprentices. You actually give them an incentive, you know. And I've said from day one, they need to turn job allowance money or job benefit money into a job allowance, give it to the employer who can then put it towards a good living wage for the employee. But to simplify it, get rid of Ann Milton, the government minister, get someone in that knows the job, and go back to old-fashioned apprenticeship.
Well, I've got to ask you then, as you say, let's get rid of her. Why don't we get someone in that's got the experience of working in industry with apprentices, rather than just someone that maybe have sat there...
That's right, just a keyboard warrior or a pen pusher. You are right. Look, the problem is, to us people, Andy, it's common sense, but to, you know, these posh politicians, you know, they haven't got a clue, do you know what I mean? And I know it sounds like all I'm doing is knocking people, but I'm being honest and being truthful. If they don't start getting their act together, the word apprenticeship will fade away, unfortunately.
We've got a couple of very quick questions. Time's flown by. Firstly, this is a question from me. Do you think if we don't sort apprenticeships out and bring in the younger guys and girls through, is the construction industry as a whole going to fall over? Because I think it will.
Well, you've answered your own question. Undoubtedly it will. You know, it's a massive skill shortage at the moment. You know, whether you like, you know, the free movement or you don't, you know, there's less people coming in from the EU. We're not attracting people in the apprenticeship. You know, I hate to say it, but construction sites in London are going to come to a standstill if the apprenticeship systems don't start lifting off.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you think a tradesman or a plumber's expensive now, you wait for a couple of years.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm being totally honest about it. They've got to put their act together and you know, sooner rather than later.
As I said, time's unfortunately running out. We've got one very quick question. One of your biggest fans, Eddie from Camden, just says, who's your barber? Loves your hair.
Thank you. Oh, you took just me by in. Surprise there, Eddie.
The fact
yeah. Nicky Clark, you know, he was an apprentice. Nicky Clark done an apprenticeship, got his own saloons now all over the place. Top guy. So, Nicky Clark, Eddie, if you're that interested. But thanks. Normally people like take the piss out of it. But
no,
thank
you. Sorry, just one more dropped in. Danny in Tooting. Did you nick Rod Stewart's wig, or is it genuine from Nicky Clark? There we go.
Who's that, Danny?
Yeah.
What trade is he?
Doesn't say, just says Danny from Tooting. Unfortunately, Charlie, we've run out of time. And coming up next, we've got my rant.
The Toolbox Show on Fix Radio. brought to you by the Federation of Master Builders.
Thank you to my guest this week, Charlie Mullins. We're going to go for a quick beer afterwards, start talking contracts. That could be fun. Right, very quickly, after me, we got the brilliant Paul Burrell, Hit the Road. But more importantly, now's time for my rant.
Let the rant begin.
Today's rant, yep, it's about manners. All those things you were taught as a little one by your mum and dad. Now, in my humble opinion, if you pay decent cash to go to a private school, you should have even better manners. Right, most of our work we carry out is in big houses, Esher, Cobham, Hersham, etc. So all the customers generally have a bit of dosh. All their three kids go to private schools. But does this mean they have any manners? Absolutely no chance. Zilch. Nout. Beck all. The two words thank you seem to have completely disappeared out of their day-to-day language. As for please, that's gone as well. We ask to get carry a whole load of things for them, or to take their bins out, fix their kids' toys. Do we get a thanks? No. Cup of tea? They don't even know what it means. They look down their nose at you like you've just crawled out from behind some rock. Seriously? Why? What makes you think you're above us? We're all the same. You just have a bit more cash than we do. But it doesn't give you the right to look at us like that or be rude. It's not just that when you're in a customer's house. Also, other places, school mums taking Tarquin and Rupert to school in their massive 4x4s. You pull over to let them pull out or pass you. They can't even acknowledge you. Nothing. Again, they look at you like you're some piece of dodgy poo. God, it boils my blood. And also, when you're out and about, like the supermarket, if you happen to go within 20 yards of them with your trolley or your basket, God help you. Their look it morphs into that look you only see in the eyes of a trained sniper. Bottom line is, we're all human beings. We're all made of the same stuff. We all breathe the same air. Don't forget, without us trades, you wouldn't have your lovely big houses. No beautiful kitchen extension, no fancy bathrooms, no walk-in wardrobes, no pools, no intricate cornice or coving, certainly no fancy wallpapering. You'd be camping or living in the woods. So next time we do something for you, or we let you pull out, how about you acknowledge us, even a smile or thank you? Otherwise, we might just forget to tighten up your main stopcock or leave your heating on full blast in this heat. Learn some manners, you snobby, horrible, condescending, miserable cockwombles. Great guest this week, Charlie Mullins. I think he's still outside because I need a cold pint with him. We've had a few people send some brilliant questions in. Sorry we ran out of time. I've got to say, I think that... Oh, there's a few more coming. Better be careful here, Jack. Frank the Plumber. Love it. Hey, Charlie, if you became mayor, will you be self-employed or staff? Great question. That would be one of many that I'll be asking Charlie over a cold pint in a minute. And I've got to say, John from Guildford, another square metre concrete pad for the post. I know, mate, in the middle of the existing floor. John, I'm with you, mate. We need a beer as well. It sounds like your views are exactly the same as mine. The engineer that just emailed you, yeah, they're clueless, mate. So this is Andy Stevens. This has been The Toolbox on Fix Radio. Thanks again to Charlie Mullins from Pimlico Plumbers. We've got a brilliant song to finish with. Usually say, pick up your trowel, get on with it. Pick up your brush, get on with it. I reckon, stick it all down. Go at the pub, have a cold pint just after this last song, because it is a belter. Time for the pub, boys. This is Arctic Monkeys. I bet you look good on the dance floor on Fix Radio.
The Toolbox Show on Fix Radio with Andy Stevens.